Can I say something to us as a church? The things that we do for the kingdom, it's not because we're big. It's not because we're talented. It's by His Spirit. We pray and we obey.
Not when we started, we had 30 people in our home.
I want you to think about your relationship with God.
God's dream for you is even better than your dream.
This is a principle. It's all through Scripture. It's called the principle of first. Is God first in your life?
Think about today. This is our first day in Israel. Only God can be loved, Jesus, or a future series of dreams for destiny.
We just want people to know God, know He loves them. We weren't really meant to do life alone.
We've truly just said, we're going to love people, and we're going to love God, and we're going to pull that together.
That's all we're after, is looking for a way to make room for people. People who need a friend for the journey.
You know, the slogan at the very beginning of the church is, we're all about people.
It wasn't a catchphrase. I think it in the beginning was kind of viewed as a catchphrase because it was catchy.
I can remember a phone conversation with Pastor Robert early on, and he said, do you think I ought to say we're all about people because God is all about people? And I said, no, I think that's a given.
I remember hearing him in the early days talking about, I want every type of person, every stage of life, every socioeconomic background. I want every person who will ever come through the doors of Gateway Church to be able to find a ministry that ministers to them.
God is awesome. He's an awesome God.
The Word of God is the most powerful force we declare in revival.
It was Easter service in 2000. 180 people there. I kind of vaguely remember walking into the auditorium and kind of looking around and saying, man, we're here at the beginning of a church.
There wasn't much there, but you always felt like it was something significant.
There was just this residential excitement in us. We didn't know what was going to happen. We felt like we were all in it together as a family. You know, maybe cleaning the toilets we didn't enjoy.
From the very beginning, Gateway's been a supernatural church. The Lord said to me, you're going to plant a church in Dallas. And so when Robert came to me and told me that he wanted to start a church, I started crying. This is the church, a church that's influencing the world.
Pastor Jimmy would come in and speak on a weekend, and he would say, Gateway's going to be a church that's going to go around the world in their worship and ministry. And I turn around, I'm like, who are you talking to? There's only 90 of us here.
There's grace on this house, and it was going to be an influential church.
One of the questions I get asked all the time about, why has God blessed? Why do you think God has blessed Gateway the way that He has? I remember the first year of the church, we were running not even 100 people, and Pastor Robert came in and said, I know we don't have a building, I know we don't have land, I know we're in a tough situation building-wise, but a Messianic Jewish congregation is building a building, and I want to sow $25,000 into what they're doing.
So this pastor asked me, I get asked to speak at pastor's conferences all the time. He said, I want you to speak on why Gateway is so blessed. So I sat down and I wrote a message. It took about 3 hours. And when I was finishing the message, I felt like the Lord was looking over my shoulder, you know, at my notes. And I felt like He went, that's not right. And I was like, you know, you could have come 3 hours ago. And so I said, well, why is Gateway so blessed? And so the Lord gave me a parable. And He said, there was an orphanage. And the head of the orphanage was a very cruel man. And down the road lived a very benevolent father. And he wanted to adopt all the children in the orphanage, all of them. And so he came up with a plan, and it worked. And the rest of the children then begin to choose to be adopted by this benevolent father. But his original children that he adopted got jealous and they left. Are y'all following the parable? And then the Lord said to me, and then one day, Robert specifically said my name, He said, you came to me. And you said, Dad, thank you for adopting me, and I love to live here. But I'd like to go see if I could get your original kids to come back home. And he said, I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out my wallet and said, how much do you need? And he said, that's why Gateway Church is so blessed.
When you don't understand giving, you don't understand the motivation behind it. And when somebody gets a revelation that everything belongs to God and everything they have has been given by God, you look at everything you have and none of it is yours.
I kept hearing from these major pastors all over America. They kept saying, you got to know Robert Morris, Dave. You got to know this guy. You got to read this book. So I pick it up, start reading it. He's trying to teach people the power of generosity in their own lives. And the byproduct of that has been this corporate movement at Gateway.
The Blessed Life message has transformed churches all over the world. Many churches know whenever they show that series or have Pastor Robert in to speak, their giving goes up dramatically because people catch the gift and the heart of giving, not just the message, the biblical message or the truth, but the heart of it.
You know, most people have the idea that I have to hoard so that I have enough. And the Lord says, why don't you trust me for enough? I want you to be generous. And in being generous, you become like me because God so loved the world that he gave.
Giving away so many cars, houses, all of these things, the goal isn't how many, it's have we been obedient? If God only wants to give 20 cars and we give away 50 cars, we're being disobedient. But on the other hand, if God wants to give 100 cars, let's not limit him to 50 cars. It takes away from the numbers. Every step of the way, I did what God told me.
When you want to hear God speak, he wants to speak to us, so he will speak to us.
Everything Pastor Robert teaches and preaches is to lead us to listen to the voice of the Lord. Every one of his messages ends with, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you?
So every week we ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me?
I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.
And
I want you to take a moment like we do every week.
Take a moment like we always do.
Take a moment and just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message?
I remember Robert, and he was Baptist background. He had become hungry, learning to open up to the gifts of the Spirit and how that was done. He said, that's right. That's right, and that's the way that I want it to be at our church.
We really give the people tools to hear God on their own, to teach people how to get a prophetic word from the Lord and to hear from God. We don't want them to walk out with just head knowledge. We really wanted him to get it in here.
I came from a predominantly African-American upbringing, expression, classical Pentecostalism. A lot of people are like, oh man, was it culture shock when you got to Gateway because you come from like this very classic Pentecostal background and upbringing and now you're at Gateway and it's conservative and it's this and it's white and this was black. And I'm like, y'all looking at the wrong movie. It wasn't about black and white and denominational lines and expressions. It was literally just about heart.
First time I led worship here, it was a new church, so there was not a lot of like open expression of worship like there is today. I looked down during worship and I saw Pastor Robert on his knees with his hands up high, just worshiping the Lord. And I thought to myself then, if that's his heart, I know that we can see God do a great thing at Gateway where truly people are experiencing God's presence in the greatest way possible. There's really a move of God where people's lives are being changed, healed, transformed.
The marriages are getting healed, their jobs, everything's getting better because they're putting God first in their life.
We're doing prison ministry. They're not just a project, they're a part of our family. And I get emotional because I just think about all the lives that are being changed behind the bars.
We're in over 80 nations, over 150 ministries that we're working with.
What happened over the past 20 years happened because people were willing to sacrifice and say, I believe and I'm going to prepare for the people that will come.
How do you accomplish something so major? Just one obedient step after another. And then you look back and you say, look what God's done. this. This is incredible. Let's keep going.
Well, I want to welcome you. This is the first service of Gateway Church. And I was just wondering, how many of you, this is your first service at Gateway Church? Can I see your hand? Look at that. This is more guests than we've ever had before. This is great. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you took the time to come. You know, 10, 20 years from now, you'll be the ones saying to me, I was there that first Sunday. I'm so grateful. Genesis chapter 28. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. And this is the same God that years ago.
It's overwhelming to look back and see what God's done. It's God's grace. It's not our performance. It's about a relationship with my Father.
Makes your heart want to say praise God, doesn't it? And thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, over these years. Well, we've had some friends who have sent congratulation letters, and we just thought we would show you a few of those. The mayors around every one of our campus communities send their congratulations to us, and then we received a congratulation letter from Senator Ted Cruz. And from Governor Greg Abbott. And from President Donald Trump and the White House. Obviously, when he sent this letter, he'd have no idea that this day and this time would be such a critical time where our nation has been fighting a pandemic, but now our president is on the front lines along with his wife of that fight. And we certainly do want to lift them up, pray for everyone who has been impacted by the COVID virus, but especially our president and his wife at this time. And so would you just join me real quick and let's pray for our nation against this pandemic and for the president. Lord, we lift up our president and first lady to you. We lift up all those in high positions, all the first responders who are on the front lines. Lord, we're asking you to break the power of this pandemic in Jesus' name, that Lord, it would be left aside and that God, we would be free from the effect of this pandemic in Jesus' name, amen. We have some ministry friends who have also sent their congratulations. Watch this.
Hey, what's up, Gateway? It's Crowder. I cannot believe it. 20 years.
Happy 20th anniversary.
Happy 20th anniversary, Gateway Church.
I'm so happy to be a part of what God has done and is doing with this church.
You have been so kind and gracious to us and to A21. We thank God for you, and we know that your greatest 20 years are still ahead.
It's amazing how God has used all of you and influenced the church across the world.
You have huge respect around the world, and we would like to honor you and honor the church.
This is just the beginning, and I'm grateful we're all apart, sitting in the front row, watching God be God.
That is simply astonishing what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in you and what he's going to continue to do through you.
We are so proud of you guys. You are rock stars in the kingdom. Well done.
Listen, my heart is with you guys. What's going on in the church there, what God's breathing through you, has affected me and my family.
I love your church so much. I love your ministry so much. I always feel just like at home every time I'm at Gateway.
Your 20th anniversary, what an incredible testament to the faithfulness of God, to the goodness of God, and to the scripture that everything starts as a seed. This church started as a small seed. It started, and look what it has done. It has been germinated, blossomed, and it has grown into this beautiful tree that has given fruit to millions upon millions of people.
I know you all know that. You're a part of something that's world-changing, altering history. So continue to fight and continue to reach and to continue to go, because those of us who are looking on, we are just blessed by the example and your faithfulness. So God bless you all.
You've been faithful. You've been faithful to the word. And that's all he asks of us, isn't it?
Congratulations. And I join all the voices from all over to thank God for your heart, for your life, and for your ministry. Happy 20th.
From Embrace Grace, happy anniversary.
Love you so much.
Happy 20th anniversary.
I love you guys. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Happy anniversary. Declaring the best is yet to come. Bendiciones.
Everybody knew I would be the one to cry, so I'll try not to. I get asked every once in a while, like a lot of us do, what did Robert Morris teach you in regards to building a great church that he didn't mention in the book? And I love to watch pastors' faces when I answer their question. I tell them, Robert Morris never taught me how to build a church that thousands of people would want to attend. He taught me how to build a church that God would never want to leave. And inevitably, they all ask the same question. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Tell me, what did he tell you? And I tell him, that's just it. He never told me with his words. He always showed us with his life. Not the answer they wanted to hear, because it's the most expensive answer. And I know Pastor Robert and his beloved bride, Debbie, wouldn't want to make the 20th celebration all about them. But I heard Pastor Jack say it really, really well years ago. He said, when God begins a move, he always chooses a man. He picks his person to work through. This next video is not about the church named Gateway. This next video is about God's man named Robert Preston Morris. Let's watch and celebrate his life.
I can remember specifically, and we still have the old tape of Robert actually preaching to a row of dummies and things. But he was actually preaching to them with a little microphone and a recorder.
Well, he was just a happy little fellow.
Things kind of changed to a certain extent when he became a teenager and a little rebellious stage. But it made us understand that if you don't kill him, you'll live through it.
She came from a loving home and people that went to church.
See, she was a good influence. There were other influences, but she was a good influence on his life.
That is so beautiful. Look at that. That is beautiful. Wow. On the other hand, however, let me holler about this collar. What is going on? Staying alive. This is beautiful too. Pastor Robert had a twin sister. I never met her before. It's crazy. Oh, this is beautiful too. So, in case you haven't caught on yet, we're actually in Pastor Robert's childhood home. Look at this place. Look at the couch. Even the couch has bell bottoms. Wow. It's doing okay. This is beautiful. Oh, this. I think I know what this is. Jake's Motel. Wow. I don't even know if they can call this a motel. Or a hotel. It's really probably more like a no-tell. Because there is no telling what happened here. And I wouldn't tell either. I am happy about one thing that took place, though. Oh. Wait. I'm going back to 2020. I get this mask on.
So he got actually under conviction by his own message. It's kind of a long story, but he was preaching before he got saved, and he preached a message about wheat and tares. And
he told Debbie, he said, if I believed everything I just preached, then I'm not saved. And she looked at him and said, then you're not saved.
I was 19 years old in a motel room, and I kept saying, well, I was saved when I was eight, I was saved when I was eight. But what I realized in the motel room was that I had not given control of my life to God. And so I literally straightened my life up as best I could because I loved Debbie. But as I got to know her, and then we got married.
That's when I saw someone that really knew Jesus. And that's when I realized I don't know Jesus like she knows Jesus. But I want to. And that's when I got saved.
Pastor Robert and I were 19, 20, around that time, when a man we both admired greatly had a radical change in his life, and that man was James Robison.
I have a special guest with me today, Robert Morris. Robert is a young evangelist, and I say you're young, because I always feel like I'm young. Robert, how old are you now?
24.
I found out that he was quite a communicator. He would go to as many of the high schools and junior highs as I couldn't and talk to the young people about basic moral issues. I think when I really began to see supernatural, unique greatness of Robert was after I had experienced a remarkable freedom. And I found myself really a tormented person who had the gift of the Spirit, but not the fruit of the Spirit. Well, Robert happened to see that. And Robert experienced that same freedom.
God kind of turned Robert's heart to wanting to be more at home and more connected to a specific local body, and something opened up at Shady Grove Church.
Do you have a cell phone?
Hello, lady. What was the lady's name that prophesied about Robert? Was that Miss Tally? Miss Tally. I wanted to be able to say that. That's been several years ago.
Could you tell me about, just while we have recording?
Right now? Yeah. It was in a Sunday morning service, and so Pastor Robert had come, he and his wife and son, first son, and they joined the church. And this lady just stood up and said, "May I say something?" And said, "Yes, go ahead and say it, Miss Tally." Said, "I see Pastor Robert standing on a platform with lines of microphones, and that he was preaching all over the United States and all over the world in every house in the United States. And so I knew it was going to be something. I didn't realize that it was going to be this big. Although I should have, because a prophecy was spoken in our church service about the 3,000, the 30,000, 300,000, and 3 million. That was some fellow in the congregation that said, "Hey, I've got a word." That was a word to him. And the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart.
When I was young, I didn't understand how hard it really was to plant a church, how much weight you carry and the burden that you carry. It sometimes doesn't leave very much for your family. I see now that you have to guard, you have to protect the time that you have with your family. Watching my dad plant a church and watching the way that he walked through difficulties, when I think back of my dad and of the beginnings of Gateway, how intentional he was with spending time with us, that's the way I remember the beginning of Gateway. Not really paying attention to what my dad did as a pastor, but paying a lot of attention to what my dad did as a father.
Years in Gateway's history that I don't remember. We were going so fast.
We have video of Gateway Church founder Robert Morris being wheeled into emergency surgery Monday night.
Morris was flown to a hospital on Sunday. Pastor Morris's wife shot this video as a helicopter took Morris to the hospital and simply asked the more than 30,000 church members to pray.
In the helicopter, I had an encounter with the Lord. The Lord's presence filled the helicopter, just filled the helicopter. And I felt like I was about to go to heaven. I mean, I knew I was leaving my family and my church family, but when I thought about my family and you, I just knew, well, God will take care of them. God will take care of them. But as I thought about my family and the church and the ministry that God's given me, I said, "Lord, I'm excited. I am so excited about coming home. I'm excited. But I would like to be there for my family. I want to grow old with Debbie." Of course, some of you young people are thinking, "Y'all already grown old. I want to watch my children step into and fulfill the destiny God has for them. And I want to see my grandchildren grow up." And when I thought about the ministry God's given me, I said, "And I just don't think you're finished with me yet on earth." When I said, "I don't think you're finished with me," he said, "I'm not." And I knew I wasn't dying that day.
It is not smoke. I know for someone like me, I've seen what very few get to see. And it is so much better. The man's not perfect, but it is so much better behind closed doors than it will ever be up on stage, which is crazy. So that's why we don't see Gateway really as a church. It is our family.
Abby didn't know I was coming today. But I wanted to, this is my first public appearance. So. But I would like to say a couple of personal things. First of all, I'd like to apologize for not praying for every woman that's ever had a C-section. Because I had two of them in 24 hours where they removed a 7-pound mass of blood, which most of you know, and I didn't get a bikini cut either, so. But I'm doing better. I'll be back at the church in a couple weeks sharing and then take the normal summer break.
I have never felt more a part of a family. I hope for the rest of that man's life, God blesses him in a way he's never blessed anyone else. Because he is the real deal. He is the real stinking deal.
He's a great leader. I'm so grateful that 20 years ago, he asked me to be a part.
I think it's very important that we as a congregation stop in this 20th year and just recognize the special person that God put in, the special couple that God put here that have been so diligent for the last 20 years. I'm telling you, we need this. We need this time, and we need to honor our pastors.
I watched how he treated people when we walked into the building. I watched how he prepared. I watched how he would turn noise out. And I watched how he would greet people on TV. And he just hasn't allowed that to be his identity. I just loved him enough. I've studied him. I want to be like him. Really, who my dad was in our home with those 30 people is the same person he is now with the 30,000. He's allowed himself to stay steadfast in God.
All along the way, I kept thinking this is too much and this is too big. I'm a very imperfect man. But God just kept reassuring me, it's not about you, son. It's about me.
I don't know about you, but I'm not just celebrating the last 20 years. I'm celebrating the next 20 years at every campus and every service and all over the world. Would you join me in celebrating and honoring our senior pastor, Pastor Robert Morris?
Thank you very much. Please be seated. Thank you. I'm glad to be back. All of you know we've been on sabbatical for 4 months, and the next weekend I'm going to share with you what I did on my summer vacation. So I'll update you on all the things the Lord did in my heart and what God's going to do over the next 20 years. But this obviously is just overwhelming, you know, to look back and to see what God's done. And he's just done it. There's just no way that any of us could have done what God's done in 20 years, you know, touched all the people's lives that he's touched and all the people that have been saved. I heard a man say years ago that we are who we are because of God and others. So obviously I want to thank the Lord. But I want to thank some others, too, and that's all of you as members of the church. You are so loving, so kind, so gracious, so generous, so giving. People have asked me, how could you take a sabbatical, you know, in the middle of a global pandemic? And the answer is actually really simple, because we got great members. And did God know that we were going to have a pandemic? Yes, he did. When we planned the sabbatical, he knew. And we've got great members, great staff, great volunteers, great leaders. So I was able to pull aside and rest. And again, I'm going to share with you next weekend about that. But I want to thank all of you, our staff. But I also want to thank some men who don't get a lot of accolades. They get no salary for serving as elders of the church. They get no recognition. They just love God and they love you. And I don't know how many of our elders are in the service, in this service, obviously, because we're all spread out. But I just like the ones that are here to stand and like for us to thank the elders of Gateway Church. So all the elders that are here, would you guys stand, please? There's some right here. Thank you, guys. We are an elder-governed church, and these are great, great men of God. We begin every meeting with worship and prayer, and sometimes we worship 30 minutes, but most time it's about an hour, and the rest of the meeting goes great if you start with worship and prayer, so you might try that at your office. But I thank the Lord for everyone that's served with me and helped me and done what God's called him to do. The person, obviously, I'd like to thank the most is the one who showed me Jesus. Even though I'd grown up in church, I'd never met anyone that really knew Jesus like she did. And that's why I got saved almost 40 years ago. So I know you don't like to stand up, but we stand up. My beautiful wife of 40 years that led me to Christ. Preston alluded to it. It is the next 20 years now. And I can't wait to download next weekend some things that God has shown me about the next 20 years. But I was thinking this afternoon about it and praying about it. And I was reminded, I was in a restaurant one time, and I have all sorts of ways to talk to people and start conversations to share with them about Christ and witness to them. I was paying for my meal. I was at the cash register. The guy was taking my money behind the cash register. I found out later he was the owner of the restaurant, but I didn't know that at the time. But I just had a phrase come to me, and I felt like I should say it. And so I said to him, "Would you like for someone to tell you how to be saved?" Just like that. No introduction, no small talk. Just said, "Would you like for someone to tell you how to be saved?" And I'll never forget, he was doing the change in the cash drawer, and he looked up and he said, "Yes." He said, "I've been reading the Bible trying to find out how to get saved." And this afternoon when I was praying about this service this weekend, I just felt like the Lord reminded me about that, that that's the season that we're going into. We're going into a season because God spoke to me on sabbatical. We've been sowing seeds for 20 years, and we're about to reap the harvest. This isn't the harvest yet. The harvest is so much greater than this. So we're going into a season where people are going, they're going to be saying to us, "Yes, we'd love to have a campus in our city. Yes, we've been praying for a Gateway Church in our nation. And we're going to just keep on building the kingdom of God and seeing people get saved and fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ." So the past 20 years have been phenomenal. But the next 20 years, you ain't seen nothing yet, because God is on the move in our nation. So thank you. Thank you so much. We're just so honored to be your pastors, Debbie and I, and we're so grateful, and we love you. God bless you.